go the opposite direction. They're trying to avoid being try-hardy, and it's just basically vodka with a vague aftertaste of rose, at which point just get vodka and put in a drop of rose water. I don't know. Gin's weird.
Yeah, I can't find the name of that gin, but it would, you know, because you're right, that gins come in all sorts of flavors. Anyway, we're moving on. We're not sponsored by the alcohol industry.
The gin industry, yeah. But yeah, I don't think what the community needs to rally itself forward is a beverage. But there was that thing about gay bacon. About a decade ago, if you remember Gay Bacon.
Gay Bacon?
Yeah, have you ever heard about Gay Bacon?
I'm forgetting about what's gay. What is Gay Bacon?
You know when you go to like a pick and mix?
Oh, yes! Yeah. Okay, yeah. Like the candy.
Yeah, the candy, yeah.
The multicolored, the rainbow bacon strips.
The rainbow, sugar rainbow. I can't have them because they have gluten in them for some reason.
Yeah, gay bacon. Yeah. Now I know what you're saying.
Yeah, gay bacon, yeah.
All right, moving on. I want to talk about Copenhagen Pride.
Because the Danes.
Absolutely. Now, Copenhagen Pride, the Pride Parade, which is happening very soon, I think 19th of August, will become the first Pride Parade to use 100% electric vehicles.
Okay. Okay, that's kind of a hippie move, but I'm into it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because you're not driving that far. Yeah. You know, you don't need a 500-kilometer range for a Pride. Maybe for Toronto Pride, because it's a long parade, but you don't need it for, like, your little Copenhagen Pride.
Carbon-burning engines are twice as polluting when they're on idle.
This is true.
So, actually, that's one of the reasons why I don't like parades, because you're just standing there huffing fumes for an hour.
Mm-hmm. And then you get in the parade. Anyway, so then Copenhagen Pride has also rolled out reusable cups and biodegradable confetti. You know, and it makes sense to me. It's like, look, it's a large outdoor event.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of different things you can do to minimize the climate impact of that event,
Okay. Which
are really not groundbreaking. Instead of styrofoam cups, use paper cups that can biodegrade. Instead of tiny bits of metal and plastic for confetti and I want to say sparkles.
Glitter.
That's the word.
Every vacuum's nightmare.
Exactly. Yeah. Gay men actually exude it. It's how we sweat. We sweat glitter.
I stopped sweating glitter when I was about 24.
It's true. That's how you can identify a twink is at night you shine a high-powered torch.
Yep.
And if they look like Edward Cullen, that's a gay man.
But being glitter, I didn't actually get it out of my life until I was 35.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. Yeah. I still see some in the crevices of your ear. Anyway, moving on. But yeah, Copenhagen Pride looking to become one of the world's first, if not the world's first, and a possibly climate neutral Pride event.
And the thing is, like, you can get pretentious about this and go out of your way to a point where it's weird and inconvenient. But a lot of these things are things where it's like you have three options on the table. Like you said with the cups, you got styrofoam cups, plastic cups, paper cups. The caterer is offering all three, and you say, may as well go paper.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not try-harding. They're just basically making simple choices.
They're doing better choices.
Simple choices. Yeah. The electric vehicle thing is a bit... Well, it's also Northern Europe.
There are so many electric vehicles in Europe that it is very much doable.
Yeah.
And so they are just going to do it.
They're just going to do it, yeah.
You know, and for me that makes a lot of sense. Now, in the Canadian market, are there the same number of electric vehicles to pull people around?
I'm willing to bet Vancouver and Toronto, possibly. The rest of the country, maybe not so much.
Yeah. So we're not quite there yet, which is fine. But no,
Montreal would all be driven by bikes.
This is true.
Because Montreal, a lot of people don't know this, it is a biker city now. They have changed.
You know what? I wonder if Amsterdam is actually a more eco-friendly... No, because they're all on boats. People don't realize this, but Amsterdam Pride is on boats.
Okay.
They use the canals.
Okay.
The parade is the canals.
Yes.
So they're all on boats, but I feel like maybe they have gas engines to move the boats.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah,
probably.
Okay. Yeah.
Although, actually, Amsterdam has recently banned cruise ships because...
From the waves?
From landing in the city. No, because cruise ships are some of the biggest polluters on the planet, mm. and also because they show up and they just dump like 5,000 people out on the city all at once.
Yeah.
And the region surrounding the ports gets consumed, basically. Like, there's a few Greek islands that have banned cruise ships because, you know, you have a Greek island with like 30,000 people on it, cruise ship shows up with 5,000 people, and now all the grocery stores are empty.
Yeah, yeah.
So now you have to have a warehouse just for, like, food stores. Just
the occasional cruise ship storage.
Yeah, so that you don't starve the people on the island. But, like, what are the shopkeepers going to say? Like, don't give me your money? So it's this weird environment. There's a lot of places that are starting to ban cruise ships.
Yeah.
Really what they need to do is just stop making mega cruise ships.
Well, I mean, that's how they... Yeah, yeah.
Anyway. But anyway, yeah. So, yeah, the environmentalism thing, there's a way to do it that makes sense. I've seen a few people bend over backwards in a way where they're just creating other problems elsewhere. Like, you want to do an environmentalism thing, that's great, but now what you're doing is you're making choices that makes it difficult for low-income people to participate. Because, like, for example, you know...
Using paper cups?
Not with paper cups. There are other things where, like, the environmental option is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Solar...
I mean, I think as an organization... making that decision makes sense.
Yeah.
I think Europeans are far more cognizant of the impact of climate change. I mean, honestly, right now we are getting tornadoes in Ottawa, fires in Namur province.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Canada is suffering the consequences of global warming.
Mm-hmm.
So making better choices makes sense, you know, when you think about it like that. Anyway, we're going to discuss...
That actually kind of makes me think of a modified version of an existing joke, and that would be, how can you tell if a tree is native Canadian or imported?
How?
It's on fire.
Wah, wah.
Because the original joke is how can you tell if a cow is British or French?
Oh, because it's a fridge?
It's on fire.
Oh.
Because the mad cow disease thing?
Oh.
Yeah. But
I told that joke to somebody once. They said... What did one cow say to the other cow? Well, the one cow says to the other cow, did you hear about that mad cow disease going around? Mm. And then the other cow goes, don't affect me, I'm a fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously it had lost its mind. And nobody got the joke. And I was so disappointed. Anyway, hopefully somebody out there found my terrible joke not as bad.
Mm.
We're moving to Dynasties. How do you do calling you? And we will be back just
you feel the waistline? Calling up. Can't you feel the waistline? Calling up. It's official, yeah. I'm calling up. Can't you feel the? How do you?
Queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Did you know?
Did I know?
That the gays are good for the economy.
I've heard, yes.
You've heard of this.
Yeah.
You've heard this. So on June 24th, it was Pride Day in Dublin, Ireland.
Okay.
And there's an organization there called AIB Spend Trend, and they essentially analyze local economic activity, restaurant spend, small business spend, during bank holidays, festivals, parades, Christmas, that kind of thing. And they found that Dublin Pride was a peak spend date in Dublin, that the local businesses made more money on that one day during the Pride Parade than the June bank holiday in Ireland.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's more people coming out, doing stuff, buying things. Apparently, there was between 60,000 and 80,000 people that participated in this Pride Parade. And yeah, no, it wasn't just good for the local economy. It was a boon for the local economy.
I know that here in Ottawa, the Bank Street Business Association, as well as the Market Downtown, and there's a fourth business association, local business association, invest in Pride because they always make their money back.
Yeah.
And the better Pride is, the more likely they are to make their money back. So there is a lot of that. I've seen bidding wars happen in cities. This is the kind of thing we don't necessarily report on the news because it's kind of boring, but we hear, well, I mean, it's boring if you're not us. To us, it's fascinating.
Yeah. But we are easily fascinated.
You hear about something like Hamilton Pride, actually. Year by year, it seems to change location. It's because, partly behind the scenes, there are bidding wars because people want the event to be in their part of town so that they can make all the profits.
I remember, and this just makes me sound old, but I remember when we were involved with Ottawa Pride and the local gay bars refused to join as sponsors. They like put no money into the actual organization of Pride. And there was a serious question about moving it out of the village because all the other businesses on other streets were like, well, yes, you're going to bring how many tens of thousands of people onto the street that will be sold out. And it's the assumption that just because they're there in the village that they don't need to kind of participate but still take advantage of that influx.
Yeah.
And it was a whole thing. But yeah, no, it didn't end up moving out of it. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, a lot of people come in, see the parade.
Yeah.
And then maybe they want to get a pastrami sandwich on the way back.
There's a really good taco place on Bank Street. Do you know the one I'm talking about? It used to be across from where you used to work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They have good chorizo there. But, I mean,
Toronto Pride moved down to, it goes down Yonge Street.
Yeah.
And then this year it ended up over at City Hall.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know, the parades all over the country, like Halifax Parade has changed its route almost every year it happens. And I think a part of it is city planning, a part of it is, you know, those businesses, where the parade is brings a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, those businesses want to be involved. Now, somebody who doesn't want any kind of parade, is Recep Erdogan, the president of Turkey. And so much so that this hapless young 20-year-old Portuguese man found himself behind bars for 20 days, he claims, for looking a bit gay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you heard about this I looked a bit gay and was arrested story?
Yes, I did hear this. And as far as I know, the man in question is not gay. He's just European.
He is just European.
Yeah.
Just European.
And happened to be in the wrong part of town at the wrong time of
day. He was the wrong town, wrong day, too European looking. So essentially, as we noticed, we said before that Erdogan, when he ran for office, really targeted homosexual communities.
Well, ran for office is between many quotation marks.
Election.
A Democratic voting winner between very heavy quotation marks.
No other political parties were definitely not pressured or arrested.
Yeah.
That happened in Turkey. He was elected another time, but in his campaign, targeted LGBTQ folks, said he would ban the Pride Parade. People held the Pride Parade in Istanbul anyway.
Yes, they did.
This poor man happened to be literally lost, about two blocks away, goes up to a police officer asking for directions. They assume he is a gay man for this illegal pride protest, but he was just European.
And he had blonde tips.
Yeah, which is, just, I mean, that's a crime in itself. I 20 days for blonde tips seems about right for me.
This actually does tie into a conversation that, I mean, I don't want to keep bringing it back to Ottawa, but I mean, Ottawa is one of the best examples of this. Back in the 80s, there was a famous case of a straight man who was murdered for being perceived as gay. And the local community here were saying to the police, like, look, it's not just about the gays. Like, if you make the community safer for LGBT folks, you're also making it safer for just, like, any kind of non-conforming heterosexual person as well. Because as far as we know, the young man in question who died here in Ottawa, it was the 80s. And it was just, he really liked Flock of Seagulls or something. He just had fabulous hair and nice new shoes, and he was just assumed to be gay.
Yeah.
And for that, he was murdered by a group of total strangers. And you should be able to, I don't know, you should be able to have like an interesting and different haircut without worrying about violence. And it's not about gay or straight. It's just about violence against people who are perceived as being a little bit different. And that is not great.
So the case you're talking about was 1991, but it happens even now.
Yeah.
There was a case that we tend not to touch on American news because there's a lot of it and it's terribly depressing.
It's easier to find than the Canadian.
This is true. Yeah. So Tommy W. Earle was just charged, he was 67 years old, for the murder of 59-year-old Michelle Diane Peacock in Richmond, Indiana. On July the 3rd, because earlier in the year, he saw Michelle, assumed that she was trans, stabbed and killed her. Dion was not trans. She was a cisgendered, a woman born woman at birth. But obviously to this guy, looked trans.
She was
and
just
that was enough.
A woman who spent her life on a farm.
And I think this is why we are so concerned. You know, are trans folks the canaries in the coal mine here? That by allowing this vitriol and hate, if you look a little bit trans, or that young girl who was harassed by that grumpy old man in BC, who looked a bit boyish, you know what I mean? It's not just trans folks who are victims here.
Yeah,
it's
she just had short hair. Yeah, and it's so weird because now what it's doing is it's forcing people to the corners where, I don't know, the whole conversation has gotten weird because now you have straight men with long hair, and they have long hair because maybe they're from a culture that where long hair is normal, or maybe they're just into heavy metal, or maybe they just wanted long hair. And people are asking them their pronouns, and they're like, I mean, that's okay, that's fine that you're asking, but I'm just a guy with long hair. Like, this doesn't make me gender nonconforming just because I have long hair.
Yeah.
And now what's happening
is... It just makes for a more expensive haircut.
For some reason, yeah. But it has made a non-complicated issue far more complicated than it needs to be. Mm-hmm. Like, some girls have short hair, some guys have long hair. This is something that we established in the 60s, basically. Mm-hmm. With, like, you know, there was... I don't know if you ever read about this, but there was a controversy because the Beatles, their hair was long enough that it touched their ears.
Outrage.
And they were just these shaggy hippies, and they were these effeminate young men because their hair was long enough to touch their ears.
But I mean, Elvis Presley had the same backlash. You know, his hip thrusting was just, you know, too much.
What's her face from Rosemary's Baby? She got a very short haircut at the end of the movie, and everyone was like, oh my god, short hair on a woman. Scandalous. And that actually popularized
the pixie cut,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, there is so much more going on, but I think folks are starting to realize, and we talked about it on a lot here, we're like, look, this obsession.
Yeah.
Pete Buttigieg actually said that there is an obsession over LGBT folks, and it's just a distraction. Mm. You know, I want to know about how political parties are planning to actually address climate change. Mm. Like, are you going to make it easier to transition to green vehicles? Mm. I don't really care anymore about your stance on social policies. I want to know how you're going to handle the economy.
Yeah.
I bring this up because there were two by-elections in the UK, and now the Conservative Party have been pinning their hats on social issues, and they got battered in the two by-elections. Strong 20,000-seat margins for Conservative parties got beaten out by both Liberals, Labour and the NDP, the equivalent of the Liberals and the, Lib Dems. You get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
One took one, the other took the other. And I think people are pointing to this, being like, look, not only are people annoyed, frustrated, just tired.
Yeah.
It's also not going to win you votes.
No, yeah,
because it lost you these. So, who knows? I think when we roll into 2024, the presidential election, The dial is going to be turned right up.
Yeah, yeah.
But hopefully we can find some
There's a lot of issues that aren't being dealt with, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one of those things where you know, X happens, queer's most affected. You know, there's that kind of a trope, but it is like inflation is hitting the queer community real hard because even though there is that stereotype of two incomes, no children, that there is that sort of like apex fallacy, like the gay men who are doing very well are quite exceptionally doing well, whereas if you actually look at the demographics of the LGBT community, on average they make lower than the average median income for that region.
If I recall correctly, Canadian trans folks have either more degrees or a higher level of education than the average, are earning less than the average. So they're better educated, but earn less. Now, that is some that's a head scratcher.
Well, I mean, it depends on what degrees are in. But I mean,
oh my God, that's so true.
Apart from that, I mean, it's just, you know, the rental crisis, the housing crisis, the inflation, the, like, there's a whole bunch of issues where, like, the community really should, I mean, really just everything needs
Tell
to be fixed at this
point
in time.
Detail how your political party plans to stabilize rents in downtown urban areas instead of telling me about whether or not a trans woman can swim in a swimming team. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, there are more laws introduced in the US about trans participation in sports than there are trans people participating in those sports. Mm-hmm. Like, we have more important pressing items to deal with. It's you know, often in politics referred to as a dog whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a distraction. It really is Jaden Essence Hall going, look over there, and not looking at the real issues that we have in front of us. That was a very gay reference for anyone paying attention. We have run out of time.
Oh, have we?
We have. We have run out of time. We're playing out with a track that we actually really quite like. This is Nameless Friends with 7 Years of Bad Blood. They are described as think big, big music, big sound, big ideas, go big or go home. In this case, back to London, Ontario, where they originate from. This is great. This is some glam rock stuff. It's excellent. This is Nameless Friends, 7 Years of Blood. I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. Thank you for listening.
By midsummer, many shrubs that in May shone boldly with flowers are now bearing fruit. Fruit that birds find irresistible. Elderberries, serviceberries, blackberries, dogwood berries, mulberries, currants, and dozens of others. Waxwings, tanagers, robins, grosbeaks, even tiny warblers feast on nature's bounty. We might think that plants are being generous by offering such a rich supply of nutritious fruits. In truth, something other than largesse is at work here. Plants evolved fruits as a kind of bribe, a way of enticing mobile creatures like birds to ingest their seeds. Birds then excrete those seeds hours later as they move widely about the landscape. Plants themselves take no metabolic benefit from the sweet pulp of their fruits. Instead, they offer this bounty in exchange for birds' help in distributing their seedlings in new locations. Flowering plants also rely on winged animals for pollination. And in dispersing pollen, birds, bats, and insects also help guarantee a new crop of berries, those brightly hued reminders of mutual benefit, the co-evolution between plants and animals. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.